ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुन्दनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकमीश्वरीम्। We are learning the thousand names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. We will be learning the next 15 namas today, starting from the 156th nama to the 170th nama. If possible, if time permits, we will also see like till the 20 namas till 175, if possible. So Lalita Sahasranama speaks about the Raghuna Parabrahman in a particular form, in the form of Tripura Sundari, which we have already discussed previously. And the namas that we are discussing speak about the Nirgunam aspect, or the real aspect of Devi. Whether it is Nirgunam or Sagunam, it doesn't matter whether we are worshipping Nirgunam or Sagunam, because as Krishna says, Tesham aham samudharta mritya samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha mayaveshita chetasam. A person who is doing Saguna Upasanas, a Saguna Bhakta, for him also, Tesham aham samudharta, for such a person, I will be the savior for such a person, because mai aveshita chetasam, because his mind is always filled with me. So that means Nirguna Bhaktas are one with Ishvara. Saguna Bhaktas will be made to realize the truth by Ishvara himself. And what is common in both is mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mai eva. Ata urdhvam na samshayah, fixing the mind, always having the thought of Ishvara, along with the conviction that this Ishvara or the Saguna Ishvara is in reality or is in truth, is in fact none other than Nirguna Brahman, that Brahman whom Shankara says as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Naparah, and the same truth is being explained in the Brahma Sutra as Janmadyasyatah, in Taittiriya Upanishad as Etova Imani Bhutani Jayanti Yena Jatani Jivanti Yat Prayanti Abhisamvishanti Tad Vijijnyasaswa Tad Brahmeti. And it's the same thing that is mentioned in Katho Upanishad as Manase Vedam Aptavyam Neha Nana Asti Kinchana. There is no duality here, it is an Advitiyam, it is Advitiyam Shiva Advaitam Advaita Vastu, and that is what is a person has to remember through the intellect. So fixing the mind onto me means having the thought of Ishvara, and fixing the intellect onto me means having the conviction that Devi, since we are learning Lalita Sahasranama, the Devi that we are praising, the Devi that we are trying to remember, is one with Nirguna Brahman. Devi is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. She is Nishprapancha. She is Mithya Jagat Adishthana. And she is the indwelling self, Brahmatmaikya Swarupini. She is the nature of our own self. She is the indwelling consciousness, the consciousness that pulsates in each one of us as I exist. That is Devi. So that is what we have to remember while learning this. So that is more important rather than whether we are following Nirguna Bhakti or Saguna Bhakti. It doesn't matter. One will lead to the other. Sagunam will lead to Nirgunam, and Nirgunam will give us the fruit of Anandam or Moksha. But for Sagunam to give us Moksha, we have to remember that even the Sagunam is only an illusion. It's only a temporary way. It's only something that is given to us for contemplation or meditation. Since klesho adhikataras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higatar dukkam deha vadbir avapyate. For people who still haven't overcome the notion that I am the body, for them it is very tough to concentrate or contemplate on Nirguna Ishvara, therefore Saguna, a form, pervade the form everywhere, pervade the mind with the form, remembering that the form alone is real, the duality or the differences that we see in the world is just mere nama rupam in the form. Remember that, and then that will take us to the goal of moksha. So Ishvara, in that case, for a Saguna Upasaka, Ishvara himself will Tesham Aham Samuddharta, Ishvara will be the savior. Why? Because Mai Aveshita Chetasam, their mind and intellect has merged onto Ishvara, is always contemplating on Ishvara. So that is what is more important. But these namas that we are learning now speak about Devi as Nirguna Brahman, Nirguna Upasana, or Nirgunam, Devi's Nirgunam. But the fruit of Nirgunam is also explained here and there. So Nirupadaye Namaha, we said Nirishwaraye Namaha, Nitya Shuddhaye Namaha, Nitya Buddhaye Namaha. All those means that if we worship Devi, then our nature, we should worship Devi as Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Atma, which is our indwelling self, Jivo Brahmaiva. That Devi is I alone, that is the Jiva is one with Devi. That also we have to contemplate, we have to remember, else we will get lost. Else we will be worshipping Devi, and then there will be comparisons as to Devi is greater or Shiva is greater, Amma is greater or Sai Baba is greater. It will go on, Shankara is greater or Vidyaranya is greater or Appaya Dikshitara is greater. All those talks will continue. Chinmaya Mission is greater or Arshavidya Gurukulam, Arshavidya of Dayananda Saraswati, that is greater, or Paramartha is greater. All those talks will come and creep in. If we don't remember that the goal to be achieved through this is Nirguna Brahman, which is our own self, that which pulsates in each one of us as I exist, I exist. That is currently limited, that is currently associated with body, mind, intellect. And as a result of the association, there is Ajnanam. As a result of that, there are Kalmashas, which are known as Kalmasha, means generally Kalmasham means fault, but there is a beautiful comparison of Kalmasham with the six crocodiles, or the six crocodiles in the ocean of samsara, which is Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryam. So Kalamasha, so Kalmasham, so Kalama, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryam, Kalama. So those six are the mind, or the mental emotions, we can say the thoughts of the mind. So that is Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryam. So they cause troubles, because all these are based on differences, all these are based on the notion of I and mine, Aham and Mama, as well as they come from the source of these problems are that there is duality, or what we see dual in the world, the duality that we see in the world is real. Is real means duality is real, whereas non-dual entity is not there. Everything is real. This is what Vidyaranya calls as a Shastriyadvaitam. Duality, considering duality as real, that is what is the problem. So we have to get rid of that. So in order for us to get rid of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryam, the source of all those is duality or dual notion, Bheda Buddhi. We can give different terms to it, but the notion that everything is different from one another, that is the cause of this. And so if we have to get rid of it, so getting rid of it is also easy. Getting rid of it is seeing oneness everywhere, or Samadarsham, Darshanam, as Krishna says. Sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutani chatmani ichyate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshinah. Seeing oneness everywhere, seeing the self in all and the all in the self. What is the use of that? Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vichanatah tatra ko moha kah shokah ekatvam anupashyatah. Person who sees, who knows that everything is one self, everything is one Devi, everything is just nama rupam in Devi, such a person, ko moha, how can he have delusion? Delusion is based on the ignorance that everything is one. Delusion is based on dvaitam. Shokam. Shokam or sorrow is also based on dvaitam. When there are two entities, then we will get sorrow from kamam or krodham or any other things. We can have dukkham. But when there is only one entity, then what to fear or what to get afraid of, what to suffer from? How can we suffer? Because there is only one, so how can I suffer? There cannot be any suffering. It's like the deep sleep state where nothing else is perceived, there is nothing else apart from the self, therefore there is only anandam, therefore there is only bliss or sukham. And that is what, if we have to get that, we have to see oneness everywhere. So the next namas that we are going to see today basically deal with kama krodham, lobha moha mada matsaryas, and explain the truth or the nature of Devi as beyond all this. And not only the nature of Devi as beyond this, but if we worship Devi as beyond all this, we will also be taken beyond it. So if Devi is our own nature and Devi is beyond, as we learned, Devi is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Muktam. If Devi is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Muktam, Devi is only present here. That means I also have to be Devi. If I am Devi, I am also beyond. I am Nitya Shuddha Buddha Muktam, which means I am Anandam. So the next Nama, 156th Nama is Om Niragaye Namaha. Niraga. So Ragam. Ragam means desire or attachment, we can say. So attachment or passion. Devi is beyond any passion. So passion or ragam is caused by seeking or desiring something. It can be called as desire. So desire is there only when there is imperfection. When we don't have something, then we desire. When we don't have a BMW, we desire for BMW. When we don't have a very good job, we desire for a good job. When we don't have a sharp intellect, we desire for a sharp intellect. When we can't sing as good as Yeshudas or Hariharan or Amrita Swarupa Ananda, then we desire for singing well or singing very well. So desire comes out of imperfection. Devi is perfect in all aspects, Purnam. So Devi is perfect in all aspects, and we already know that Devi is Nishkama. That means Devi is without any desires, so that means there cannot be any passion or attachment as well. So Niraga can be interpreted as desires. Ragam can be interpreted as just desire or passion or attachment, we can say. Attachment or passion is also due to desiring something. Getting attached to something is because you desire that object. So desire can be the first, said to be the first step. And then once you desire something, you get attached to that object. You may have the object or you may not have the object, but you get attached to the object. So that can be said to be the difference between kamam is desire, ragam is attachment. Devi cannot have any attachment because Devi is perfect in all aspects. One, Devi is perfect in all aspects. And two, Devi is, there is nothing apart from Devi. Devi is advitiya vastu. There is nothing apart from Devi. So how can there be any attachment? And not only that, Devi is without attachment, but the advantage of worshipping Devi as being beyond attachment is Raga Madanaye Namaha. Om Raga Madanaye Namaha. It's not Madha, it is Madanaye Namaha. So in Urayashi Ranna's book, it is Om Raga Madanaye Namaha is given. I don't know, I don't have Amma's book now to compare it, but I think Raga Matanai Namaha is what I have learned. So both are fine, I guess. So Raga Matanai Namaha. Matanam means destruction or removal. So Ragam, removal of Ragam. When we worship something which is beyond Ragam, beyond attachment, we will also be made to go beyond attachment. That's the law of worshipping or thinking something in the mind. The more and more we think that I am a good singer, we'll become a good singer. Oh, will I really be a good singer, or it will just be a thought in my mind? If there is real attachment to good singing, if there is a real thought that I have to become a good singer, then I will become a good singer by implementing it in action. So the same applies here as well. So yata यता मतिहि तता गतिहि, और या मतिहि सा गतिहि. वॉट एवर इज द मति, वॉट एवर इज द इंटेलेक्ट और थॉट इन आवर माइंड, द स्ट्रॉन्ग थॉट वी विल बिकम दैट. दैट्स ऑल्सो द रीजन वाई इट इज सेड दैट वी हैव टू हैव मुमुक्षुत्वम. Mumukshutvam, or we should be a mumukshu. Mumukshutvam should be tivram. That means I have to get liberated this very moment. If that is not there, then it will take us time for realization or liberation. Liberation, we should be seeking liberation now or this moment. That's how it should be. So there is an incident in Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life. So the gospel says, once a person, a devotee, went to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and asked him, how can I know Ishvara? So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, rather than answering to him, he just took him to a pond, nearby pond, immersed him in the water and kept his hand over the other person's head. So kept the other, it means like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa kept the other person submerged in water, not letting him come out. So the person was gasping for breath. For some time he was gasping, and then he was taken to a state where he realized that he needed at least one breath of fresh air he needed. So that's how his state was. At that time Ramakrishna Paramahamsa let go of his hand or hold. So the person came out and he was very happy that he was saved, or he could live. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa coolly said to him, when you have the desire, that desire that you had at that the last minute, that I cannot continue, I need air now, when the desire for Ishvara is such strong, when the desire is so strong, that is the time when a person will realize. And Amma terms this as Vyakulata. Narada Bhakti Sutra also calls as Parama Vyakulata. Or Vyakulam. Vyakulam means the very anxious. I have to get it. Very much desiring. So that is what is required. That is the desire. The desire, the strong desire for moksha will make us implement, will make us remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya wherever we are, whatever we are doing, and thereby give us moksha this very moment. So that is very important for a seeker to desire. That okay, the desire, I want moksha now. And when there is such a desire with such earnestness, or with such strong desire for liberation, we worship Devi as Niraga. That means we have the passion, which means we have Mayi Eva Mana Adatswa and Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya, which means we'll be our ragam will get away from us. Ragam will get away from us because strong desire for moksha, remembering Devi as beyond ragam, will make us go beyond ragam, because our mind is fully immersed in Devi. The moment we say Devi is niraga, we will become niraga. The moment we say Devi is anandam, ananda swarupini, we will immediately become ananda swarupam. So that is how it works. So we have to have, as per Sureshwaracharya in his Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Bhashya Vartikam, he says that out of the sadhana chatushtayam, two things are very important. One is vairagyam and the second is mumukshutvam. At vairagyam, if we don't have para vairagyam towards the goal, strong desire, strong attachment to the goal, will not get realization. And similarly, the attachment to the world will automatically come because of attachment to the goal. So that means both should be there. That is vairagyam. Detached from the world, because attached to the goal of Brahman, substratum of Brahman or Devi in this case, and mumukshutvam, that I have dukkham now, I want to get rid of dukkham. So if a seeker has the desire, I want to get rid of dukkham now, then that means he will remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. These namas will immediately come to his mind. Nirupadeye, Nirishvara, Niraga, Raga Madana. All those will immediately come to our mind. When that come to our mind, then immediately the seeker will get Anandam. Anandam because of the knowledge, because of having been in knowledge because of having or because of taken a bath in the ocean of Sachidanandam, because being immersed in the ocean of Sachidanandam, which is Jnanam, that Jnana Sagaram, because of being immersed and remembering it, immediately Anandam will come. So Ragam, so the next thing, the next Nama says about Om Nirmadhaye Namaha. So Madam, so Madam means pride, or thinking that I am something. So the pride, so pride arises when, again, the root cause of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsaryam, all of those are Dvaita Bhavana, or considering Dvaitam as real, forgetting Advitiya Vastu. So when Dvaitam comes, then automatically the thought that I am great will creep in. It is very tough to keep it controlled. So in one of the Malayalam work called Harinama Kirtanam, there the author says that if ego is there, if at all ego is there, I cannot live without the ego. Then let the ego be such that everything is mine. So this ego or madam or pride is not mere ego, but it is when the ego is limited to a body. That is when pride, oh, I am something. So that comes up when the ego or the I sense is associated with just a body. But we can just pervade that ego. So we can say, I am a bhakta, as Ramakrishna Paramahansa's way of, I am a bhakta, naham naham tvam tvam. So it is an easy way to get rid of ego. And the ultimate way of getting rid of ego is what? By jnanam, by knowing that everything is one entity, there is no dvaitam, so how can there be ego? Oh, ego, let it what is the, as Amma says, this is a very small ego in this entire universe. It is a very small part. So how important can it be? And we can also think that, okay, it is like a dream world. There are many things that we do in dream world. All those are of no use. They don't have any importance at all. So the ego is not at all important. Even as we do a lot of things in dream world, it's of no value. Similarly, it's all a nāṭakam. It's a play. So everything is a play. In a play, what does Neo have? Like Keanu Reeves cannot get egoistic about his role in Matrix. In the movie Matrix, he plays the role of Neo. He cannot be egoistic about the role of Neo because it has no value at all. Though the role may have significant importance or significance in the movie itself is an illusion, so how can the role have any values? So that means this entire world is only an illusion of Namarupam. It's a big play. So in that play, how can I have any madam? There cannot be any madam, because this role that I play, it's the role of the ego, and it has no value. So we have to always remember that the ego is as illusory as the entire world, and I am, or the jiva in me, is in fact one with Devi. It is consciousness that is my real nature, and that is one with Devi. If we remember that, then we will become Nirmadha. So like Devi, who is without any madam, Devi doesn't have any sense of pride, because she knows that everything is an illusion. She knows that there is nothing apart from her. Therefore, there is no madam. So even as an actor who plays his or portrays his role, knows that the role doesn't have any significance. Similarly, Devi knows that there is no pride in her role of Ishvara, or Tripura Sundari form itself has no meaning. There need not be any pride regarding that particular form, because everything is only an illusion in Brahman. Therefore, there is no pride in Devi. And if we worship Devi with earnestness, knowing that Devi is without any pride, because there is nothing apart from Devi, everything is only an illusion in Devi, so how can there be any pride? Then Om Madanashinyai Namaha. Devi becomes Madanashini. When we worship Devi as our indwelling self, as a substratum of the illusory world, as Nirguna Brahman, who is the basis for Mithya Jagat, then we will also be rid of Madam or pride, one of the six crocodiles. So that is what we need to have. We need to always remember. So as per Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, if we have to get rid of or cross over the ocean of samsara and stay away from the crocodiles of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryam, then we have to have manjal or turmeric, I don't remember. Okay, turmeric. Crocodiles are afraid of turmeric. So the turmeric of bhakti will keep us away from these. Bhakti towards Devi, complete surrender unto Devi, which means mayi eva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya. That is real devotion. Real devotion is knowing that Devi alone is present here and thinking about Devi. That is the turmeric that will keep these crocodiles away from us. So we will be got rid of madam. When the pride goes, ego also goes, which means we become one with Brahman. When ego is not there, ahankaram is not there, then ahamayam kuto bhavati chinvata ayi patatyaham nija vicharanam. So vicharam, or getting rid of the I, is vicharam. The I ego, getting rid of the I ego is vicharam. Ahaminasha bhajyahamaham taya spurati hrut swayam paramapurna sat. The complete sat will pulsate in us, that I exist, when we get rid of the egoistic I. So the next nama is Om. Nishchintayai namaha. When we get rid of ragam and madam, which means we get rid of ego, then nishchinta, we don't have any chinta. Chinta means we don't have any worry. What to worry about? We cannot worry about anything because we are purna vastu. When we become purna vastu, there is no chinta. Devi state. Okay, we can see these dhammas from two perspectives. One as Devi's nature, which also means if we worship Devi with such nature, we will also become like that. So that is how we have to see. When we are learning, when we are going for any discourse or learning any Vedantic work or doing any Vedantic sadhana, we have to ask ourselves, what do I really benefit out of it? What do I benefit spiritually out of it? Does it increase my anandam? So learning about Devi, we can say, oh, Devi is nishchinta, Devi won't have worry, but I will have worry. We can think it that way. So that is a wrong attitude. So it's not enough just to think about Devi as nishchinta. We have to concentrate on, if we worship Devi as nishchinta, we will also become nishchinta. We will get rid of worries because there is no raga dvesham, there is no crocodiles, which means there is no samsara sagaram. We are not even in the samsara sagaram. That means there will be no worry, which means we will always be blissful. So nishchinta, Devi is without any worry because she is purnam. And we will be in that purna avastha when we get rid of the ego, when Devi gets rid of our ego because of her complete surrender to Devi, because of remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Therefore we will become Nishchinta, and along with Nishchinta we will have Om Nirahankarai Namaha. Ahankaram is not there in Devi. Naturally ahankaram is not there because she knows that there is only one thing, there is only, she only exists, she knows. Therefore there is no ahankaram. For us, ahankaram is there because of that madam, ragam, etc. are there. When we get rid of ahankaram by always remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, any moment we remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, immediately ahankaram will vanish. That is vicharam. Vicharam is knowing that the I in us is not the ego. The I in us is one with Brahman, that Brahman which is the substratum of the illusory world, that Devi who is Nitya Jagat Adhishtana. That will immediately get rid of ahankaram. Will not have any ahankaram once we do that. And that is what the nama says as Om Nirahankarai Namaha. Devi is Nirahankara. When we worship Devi as Brahman, Nirguna Brahman, always remembering Devi, irrespective of where we are, what we are doing, remembering Devi, then we will become without any ahankaram. We won't have any ahankaram. So the next nama is Om Nirmohayai Namaha. Nirmoha. So we learnt Ragam and Madam. So the next one coming up is Moham. So Moham is delusion. So the delusion or delusion is with respect to duality being real. So that is the main delusion. The main delusion is forgetting Advitiya Vastu, considering Dvaitam as real. When we consider Dvaitam as real, that means there is superimposition, everything happens, that is Ajnanam. Ajnanam causes Beda Buddhi. Beda Buddhi causes Ragadvesham. Ragadvesham causes Dukkham. Ragadvesham means Ragadvesham including Moham, everything. So that is caused out of Beda Buddhi. Beda Buddhi that there is Bedam is real, which means forgetting our nature, forgetting the reality is Moham. So we may sing bhajans, we may go to various missions like Ramakrishna mission or Chinmaya mission or Amma's place, we may go for Amma's retreat, but any moment we forget the truth or the reality as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, if we forget that very moment we are in Moham. And what can Moham give us? Moham can only give us sorrow. Even as a person who is deluded by thinking that water is there in desert, what will happen to such a person? He will run behind water. He will run for miles and miles, run for many, many hours. And finally, when he doesn't get any water, he will become sad, very sad. So Dukkham is the output of Moham. Moham arises out of Beda Buddhi. Beda Buddhi is there because of forgetting the truth. We can say Adhyasam. Beda Buddhi is due to Adhyasam. Adhyasam itself means Bedam comes there. So all this is because of forgetting Brahman, forgetting the truth of Brahman. So any moment we forget Brahman, the moment we forget Brahman, that moment we are in Moham. So that is also the reason why Sanat Sujata says in Sanat Sujatiyan that Pramado vai mrityuhu. Mrityu or death is pramadam. So pramadam means attachment toward or attraction towards sense objects. So attraction towards sense objects is mrityu. It will make us take birth again and again and again and again. So attachment or attraction towards worldly objects or the world itself happens because of considering the world as real, that is Moham, that is Mrityu, that will give us Dukkham. Any moment we forget the truth, that is Pramadam. So Pramadam is attachment to worldly objects because considering world as real, which is because of forgetting the truth. So any moment we forget Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, then we are in Moham. Devi is not in Moham, Nir Moha. Devi is without Moham at any point of time because she knows the truth, she is living in the truth, she is the truth. If we worship Devi as Nirmoha, Devi doesn't have any Moham. Why? Because Devi doesn't have any Beda Buddhi. Why? Devi doesn't have any Beda Buddhi or Adhyasam. Devi doesn't have Beda Buddhi because Devi knows that Abhedam or Advaitam alone is the truth. There is only one entity. Everything else is only Namarupam. It's like a dream. In the dream world, we see many things. It is like that. Devi knows always, Devi is always residing or abiding in that truth. Therefore, she doesn't have any Moham. She doesn't have any Moham. So, she doesn't have Beda Buddhi because she is abiding in the truth. Because she doesn't have Beda Buddhi, she doesn't have Moham. And when we worship Devi as Nirmoha, so remembering Devi as Nirmoha is remembering that there is only one entity. So remembering that Devi is Nirmoham means knowing that Devi is Advitiya Vastu, Devi is Nirguna Brahman, that Brahman which alone exists, which means Om Mohanashinyai Namaha. A person who worships Devi as pervading the entire world, being the substratum of the entire world, substratum of Namarupam, such a person will get rid of his Moham, his delusion. He will get rid of all the delusion in his mind because of worshipping Devi as Nirmoha. So the moment we worship Devi as without any Moham, that means that very moment we remember the truth, which means that very moment we get Anandam. So we have to stretch, as Shankara says in Lagu Vakyavritti. So ekadvitrishaneneva vikalpasya nirodhanam. So vikalpas or thoughts are there, thoughts in the form of dvaitam is there in our mind. So getting rid of the thoughts of dvaitam is adding on the thought of advaitam. So anytime we remember, the moment we remember advitiya vastu, that very moment we get anandam. The very next moment anandam will vanish because dvaita bhavana will come in again. So we have to continuously maintain that is mai eva mana agatva. That means we know intellectually we have the truth. We know we have intellectual knowledge about Devi being advitiya satyam, that Brahman alone exists, that Jagat is Mithya and I am Brahman. We know that, but we have to persist it, or like we have to continuously have that thought, then anandam will slowly increase. The time anandam is there in our mind, the time we are in anandam will increase day by day, and finally we will become a Jivan Mukta. So Mohanashini, Devi will get rid of moham if we remember Devi as Nirmoha, which means if we remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So the moment we remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, we are not in delusion, because that is the truth, that is reality. Delusion is when we forget the reality. When we remember the reality, we get rid of delusion. We get rid of delusion means, as I said, we get rid of dukkham, which means we will be in anandam. So the next nama is Om Nirmamaya Namaha. Nirmama. So Nirmama means mamata. So mamata means the sense earlier, or one of the previous nama was Om Nirahankaraya Namaha. Ahankaram is not there. Along with Ahankaram, Aham, there is another thought also, Mama or Mamata, my people. So when we have the notion of I am so and so, there will always be mama. Now there will always be people who are close to me. Even though we may have just we may talk to five people, we may know only five people in the entire world, but still out of those five, we will have some sort of, if we don't consider all the five as one entity or as one namarupam in one, then we will get attached or averted to one or the other. Attached people, when we get attached to couple of them and averted to three of them, the couple of them become my people, my parents, my father, my mother, my brother, my relatives, my friends. So that will creep in. So mamata is caused out of ahankaram. So Devi doesn't have ahankaram, therefore Devi doesn't have mamata. Devi doesn't have ahankaram. Why? Because there is nothing apart from Devi. Devi doesn't have mamata also because there is nothing apart from Devi. In the dream world, while the dreamer is there in the dream world, he can have attachment, he can have my people, mamata can be there. But when he wakes up, he cannot have any mamata, because once he wakes up, there is only me. So how can there be any mamata? There cannot be any mamata. So Devi, nothing apart from Devi exists, therefore Devi is Nirmamaya Namaha, Nirmama. And a person who worships Devi as Nirmama, he remembers Devi as the only entity present. If Devi is the only entity, then the I in me, or the conscious principle in me, not the limited I, the real I, that is Devi, that is one with Devi, which means there is nothing apart from me, therefore I cannot have any mamata. So, Om Mamata Hantriyai Namaha. Mamata Hantri. One who destroys mamata. If we worship Devi, Devi will destroy the mamata, the sense of mine in us. So, Devi will not only destroy the sense of ego in us, she will also destroy the sense of mine in us. So, that mine, sense of mine will be removed. When mamata vanishes, that means if mamata is there, that means there are people whom we are attached to, which means kamam is there. Kamat krodho vijayate, krodham can start. Krodhat bhavati sammohaha, sammohat smriti vibhrama, smriti brahmchat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashyati. As Krishna says, it will finally lead to nasham, destruction. It will lead to our own destruction. We will be suffering, we will be taking birth again and again and again and again, without any contentment, without any happiness. Our life will become miserable. if our life shouldn't be miserable, then we have to concentrate, then we have to remember that Devi is Narmama. So Devi is Narmama means Devi will get rid of Mamata. If we worship Devi as Narmama, as remembering the truth, Devi as Nirguna Brahman or Brahma Satyam Jagannitya, that will get rid of Mamata, which means at any point of time we will be able to decide as to what to do, what not to do. We will be able to boldly take decisions. We will be the boss of our own decisions, our own life. That means we will be ever blissful. So the next nama is Om Nishpapayai Namaha. Om Nishpapa. One who doesn't have any papam. So papam means sins. So the basic sin, as in Christianity, the basic sin or the sin is the sin of forgetting Ishvara and Adam and Eve and entering into a relationship. So the basic sin or the main sin in Vedanta is the sin of forgetting the reality, forgetting our very nature of Brahman. Forgetting Brahman is the sin. Ooh, are you making up your own theory? Paranchikhani vyatrinat swayambhu tasmat paran pashyan nandaratman. Kato Upanishad says that Ishvara created the sense organs or the mind, and those sense organs started going outside. That means they forgot Ishvara, therefore Ishvara cursed them. So the main sin, the starting sin, is forgetting Ishvara, forgetting our nature of Nirguna Brahman. And Devi is Nirguna Brahman herself, so there is no question of forgetting, which means she is Nishpapa. There is no scope of papam because she is always in the thought. She is Brahman. We have forgotten Brahman somehow. Therefore, we have sinned. We have to get back. Whereas Devi doesn't have any sin. So, a person who worships Devi as Nishpapa, as having no sins. No sins because always abiding in the truth of Brahma Satyam Jagannitya, such a person will also get rid of his sins. Om Papa Nashinyai Namaha. Papa Nashini. Devi is remover of papam. Devi removes papam because if we worship Devi as Nirguna Brahman, then we will remember Nirguna Brahman. If we remember Nirguna Brahman, then the sin, the all sins start from forgetting Brahman. If the moment we remember Nirguna Brahman, all our sins are got rid of, because the main sin, the source of all sins, is forgetting the reality. And we get rid of that. When we get rid of that, all papams vanish. All other papams are caused out of ajnanam. Ajnanam, when we remove ajnanam, everything automatically vanishes. So the next nama is Om Nishkrodhaye Namaha. So we learned about ragam and krodham. Krodham means, krodham can happen in two ways. One is when we are attached to something and something bad happens to the person we like. That is the time when we can get angry. So we like something and we don't get that, we become angry. We can also become angry when we don't like something and that we get, or something good happens to the people we hate, then also we can get angry. But again, anger is also based on bheda buddhi, or it's based on forgetting advitiya vastu. Devi is advitiya vastu, therefore nishkrodha. Devi is without any krodham, without any anger. And that means a person who worships Devi as Nishkrodha, Om Krodha Shamanyai Namaha. Devi becomes remover of Krodham. If we worship Devi as without Krodham, that means we know Devi as Advitiya Vastu, we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that means we will not have any Krodham. So we will stop with this Nama, but we have learned till now to remember Brahman or Brahma Satyam Jagad Mithya. We will not have any ahankaram, we will not have any raga dvesham, we will not have a raga krodham, moham, madam, etc. So if that is the case, how can actions happen in the world? There can be a doubt. So actions will still happen. Even after we get out of the dream world, we still dream the next day. We know that dream is not there, but still we dream. So things will happen as they are. So the world will not be changed because there is nothing to change in the world. The world doesn't exist at all. It is just our knowledge that the world doesn't exist. which really matters. If we change the world, there are many people who try to change the world. So scientists are trying to do that, trying to go to Mars, trying to go to Sun, trying to go to various new planets, discovering things, discovering life in other planets. So scientists are trying their best. A lot of things they are trying, but what the plane where or the place where they are searching or trying out is that world. They are trying to change the world rather than change themselves. The story that Amma gives for this is, once a king and a minister came out of his palace, a thorn was there on the way. The thorn pricked the king's feet. So the king said, "Oh, this is bad, like carpet the entire kingdom, so that thorns will not prick my feet." So at that time the minister was learned. Therefore he said, oh my lord, we cannot carpet the entire world, that is not possible. But what we can do is, you can wear a sandal. So if we wear a sandal, then, or if you have a footwear, then thorn will not prick your feet. So we cannot change the world, as Amma says. It's Vedanta is not, or spirituality is not about changing the world. It's about changing our mind, not paridasthiti. Paridasthiti means the situation or things around us, but changing our mental attitude. We cannot change. Oh, why not change the world like Amma is trying to do? So all, if we try, look into the social people who have done the maximum social service, starting from Jesus to Krishna, or even before that Krishna, Rama, all of them couldn't change the entire world. They were not able to change the entire world. The current day masters also are not able to change the world. Nobody will be able to change the world, because it is the very nature of the world. Anityam asukham lokam. So what we have to learn is, amidst this trying to change the world, these Mahatmas lived a happy life. So their mental state was that they knew that nothing is real. They were able to be blissful. So we cannot change the world. Nobody has been able to change the world, because the world is not, world doesn't exist. We cannot change the dream world, because there is no dream world at all. We cannot try to convert or make the water seen in desert beautiful. Somebody sees a water seen in desert and they think, oh, let me create a water beach resort or something like that. Let me create. It's not possible at all, because there is no water at all. But what we can do, water will still be seen, but what we can do is, we can, in our mind, our mental state about the water, or considering the water, we earlier considered the water as real, now we can consider the water as unreal, and with that attitude we can do things. So people run behind water. So I cannot stand apart from the crowd. I am somehow bound by worldly laws. Therefore, I cannot stand like this. So I also have to run. Well and good, you can also run along with others. Others are running behind the water in desert. I will also run behind the water in desert. But the difference is that I have the knowledge that there is no water in the desert. So even if I run, I will not get sad at the end of the day when I don't get the water, because I already knew that there was no water. So that is the mental attitude. So we will not be able to change the world. We can change the attitude, the inner attitude of our mind, that okay, whatever happens, I will remember the truth. Anything that comes between me and the truth, I will choose the truth. I'll remember the truth. If remembering the truth requires me to do bad things, I will do bad things. So Mahabali was an asura who did bad things of conquering or doing war over the devas and conquering them. So that was his job. He did that. And the Lord, what did Ishvara do? Ishvara came in the form of Vamana and he blessed Mahabali. So that is what Ishvara did to Mahabali, who was doing a bad karma. As per us, he was doing adharma. As Mahatma say, dharma and adharma, we cannot define things like that. So we may have to do things which are not called dharma. We have to do our swadharma. So that's why in Vaishankara, Yuddham, in the 8th chapter of Gita, where Krishna says, Mai arpita mano buddhir, I forgot the shloka. So in one place Krishna says that yuddham yudhyasva bharata, he says. So yudhyasva bharata means yuddham, do yuddham for to Arjuna. So there in that in the commentary to that, Shankara says that yuddham cha swadharmam kuru. Yuddham means we cannot do yuddham, we don't have to do yuddham. So that means we have to swadharmam. So it is not dharma or adharma. Swadharma means swasya dharmam. Whatever is our dharma, whatever for whatever we have been born, we have to do that boldly. We have to do that not letting go of the truth. So not forgetting the truth, doing things. That means the moment we forget the truth, we'll get attached. When we get attached, we will have raga, dvesham, mamata, ahankaram, etc. And that will lead us to trouble. That will lead people around us also into trouble. So we should know that we can do our dharma. We have to do our dharma in a bold way, remembering the truth. And more we remember the truth, we'll be able to do whatever we are. We are supposed to do in the world whatever has been given to us to do in the world. That role, portrayal of that role, will be done to perfection. Even as Tom Hanks does his roles to perfection, even as Amir Khan does roles to perfection, or Kamala Hassan does his roles to perfection, similarly, we'll be able to do whatever has been given to us, whatever comes to us, in to perfection. At the same time, not getting rid of the truth. Anything that comes between the truth, we will be able to set that aside and stand by the truth. That is what is required. So we can say it is very easy, the fine line between what is really implementation of Vedanta and what appears to be implementation of Vedanta is very, very thin. The line is like fine. It is a very fine line that, a very thin line that we may not know where we exactly stand. So implementation is when things go against, when we are not able to remember the truth for something, then we will, because of something, then we will be able to set aside that something. Whether that something is our father, like in the case of Prahlada, our parents, or even Guru, like in the case of Mahavali and Shukracharya, will be able to set that aside. And that is, or even Krishna did the same thing by standing or making Arjuna go against Bhishma and others. So Krishna made even Arjuna do that, go against his relatives and all those people, because everything is just a role. But it's very easy to say, oh, I'll take care of people around me and still remember. It's very easy to do that, but nobody can judge that except ourselves. We have to judge it. Are we really attached to people around us, or are we able to do actions remembering the truth? The difference is, a person who is attached will fall down. He'll not be able to set them aside. Person who is very attached to something, let's say a person is very attached to singing, such a person cannot remain without singing. So one day get rid of or remove the singing, the person will become very, very sad. So that is what is attachment, or getting affected by something. So attachment means we'll get affected when we are just playing a role, remembering the truth. When we are just playing a role, one day if we have to get rid of something, oh, I'm a great singer, but one day I'm not able to sing, such a person will be very happy, still be very happy. We can equate, or is it really possible to do all this? We do see people around us doing that. We can, if we go to Amma's place, Amrita Swarupa Ananda sings, he sings very well. He used to sing very well. He had throat problems, so he's not able to sing for a continuous period of time now. But then still, is he affected by his? Does it really reflect in his face? People might say, oh, he doesn't sing that well, he cannot sing much, there should be another Swami singing with him and all we can say. But if he is not able to sing one day, he doesn't sing, as he didn't sing in New York this year, so he doesn't sing, is he really affected? That is what really determines whether such a person is just a sakshi, putting it in his own words, wearing a mask, whether he is wearing a mask of singing or whether he is really singing. We may think, we can just in our intellect say again and again, oh, I am wearing a mask. We can say that, but the moment we have to get rid of that mask, if we are attached, if we are affected by not wearing the mask, that means we are attached to it, we have forgotten the truth, we are not really implementing Vedanta. So implementation of all this is as simple as remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya and giving it the highest priority in our life. Whatever comes between that, if we have to choose between the truth, remembering the truth, remembering Devi, and anything else, if something comes between remembering Lalitas or chanting Lalitas Sahasranama, remembering Devi, and anything else, we should be able to set aside whatever comes. Even if it is work, I cannot meet Amma because I have work. I cannot get rid of work. I am a very important person, you know that. I am a very important person. If I am not there, work will not happen. If something like that comes up, we should be able to set aside work for the truth. For Amma, we should be able to set aside. And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to set aside. We can go to work and say, oh Amma, I am worshipping you. That is also valid. But the line between both is very thin. Or the line between really implementing Vedanta and seemingly implementing Vedanta is very thin, that we can get deluded. So anytime, get rid of this moment. I have to set or give up my entire life, whatever I have created, the money, the possessions, the people that I have created, I have to get rid of it this moment. Are we really able to do that? This moment, are we able to shed aside whatever we have in the world and just go behind the truth? If we have to do that, we have to become a yati, we have to do something like Ramana Maharshi did, leave everything off and go. Are we able to do that? Can we really do that? That is what really determines as to whether we are implementing Vedanta, if we are remembering Devi as Narmada, as Niraga, as Nirahankara and all these namas. So that means we are really remembering. If we are not able to set aside everything for this truth, for Devi, for Brahman, then that means we are affected, we have attachment, we have ragam. That means something is lacking in our devotion to the truth. Something is lacking, either mayeva mana adatswa, we are not able to remember Devi at all times, or may buddhim niveshya, we don't have the intellectual conviction. We are not able to remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, or we don't know the meaning of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Our intellect is not convinced about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So it is either of those. We know as to now, like after learning Vedanta, we know as to what can be wrong, what is wrong, what we lack. Therefore, we have to utilize the most out of our out of this birth to realize Ishvara, to contemplate on Devi, to implement Vedanta. The moment we implement Vedanta, from that moment, Anandam will start dancing around us. We will be in Anandam from that very moment itself. It's not next moment. And this doesn't have anything to do with being in a mission. Remembering the truth doesn't have anything to do with, I have to go to Vedanta, join Vedanta course in Chinmaya mission, I have to join Amma's mission, I have to be with Amma, I have to be with Tejomayananda, I have to be with Ramakrishna mission. Nothing like that. There is no limitation for it. There is no limitation of time or when to do it. There is no limitation of where to do it. There is nothing of how to do it. You don't need much. You don't need any money. There is no cost for this. This is free. We can do it at any point of time, irrespective of externally where we are, what we are doing as well. It doesn't matter. We can implement this at any point of time. So there is no limitation whatsoever for it. Why are there no limitations? Because nirupadaye namaha. Devi is without any upadis. Worshipping that which is in without upadis, the moment we remember that, we will also go beyond upadis. That means upadis don't matter for this truth, because the truth itself is beyond upadis. That which is beyond rules. When we go to the moon, gravitational laws that are applicable in earth are not applicable there, because moon is beyond gravitational laws, therefore it is not valid. Similarly, when we worship Devi as beyond any limitations, that means we also go beyond limitations. There are no limitations whatsoever. It's very simple. It's very easy. We can do it at any point of time. We can do it now itself. And if we do it, what we get out of it is Anandam. Anandam will slowly increase day by day. As it increases, we will become content day by day. Contentment, satisfaction, perfection, peace will be there, and we'll be able to get away from the world. We'll be able to, when Yamadeva, Yamadharma Raja comes in front of us, we'll be able to say, oh, come on, I am ready to leave. We'll be able to shed aside everything. So that is the goal of life. Being happy, being content at any point of time, peaceful, blissful, that whatever happens, I will be happy. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.